is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron for September 27th, 2012. You know, we're actually like 3 weeks away from our 13th anniversary episode, but I don't think I'm going to mention it. I think we're just going to roll that into like some sort of Halloween special.
It'll be spooky.
Yeah, it's not like 13's a big deal. It's kind of cool. Like 13.
10 was more important because it also signaled the return of the show.
Yes. But 13 is a cooler number, definitely. But so this is Radio Free, you know, we're old farts. This is Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers Internet radio show, one of the world's first podcasts, and I am Brian Kilby. With me, I have XV and Rob Clay, fellow old farts. XV is slightly younger. We're just sitting here sort of talking about
old times
and bacon, which are usually synonymous. When I look back at my history, it usually involves bacon. I'm a terrible, terrible person. So this week is our monthly, it snuck up on us, our monthly third-party roundup.
It snuck up on you. I'm on top of these things.
This is true. Our monthly third-party roundup. So we've got that later on in the show. We also have the tformers.com news desk. We have Transformers Rewind, which is this week. We have goodness, it's we had Dark Designs, Heavy Metal War. That's what it is. Sorry,
too long, Piston.
Sorry, Heavy Metal War, and we haven't recorded next week's episode yet, so I don't know what it is.
I can tell you what it is.
What will it be, XV?
It's going to be Dark Awakening.
Awesome. And I'm on that one. With Hey Mickey.
Yes.
That's exciting.
That'll be fun.
So let's go ahead and just jump straight to the tformers.com news desk. We will be back right after this.
Tformers.com news desk, bring you the best of this week's news. I'm XB.
And I'm JD.
So, JD, how are you doing this week?
Oh, I'm thumbs up, buddy. Woo!
Takara Tomy released official images of upcoming exclusive ARMS Micron figures, Orion Pax, and Thundercracker. Orion is from the first edition Deluxe Optimus Prime mold and is based on the opening storyline of Transformers Prime's second season, while Thundercracker is based on squeezing every Starscream mold for as much collector money as possible. These figures will be released on October 20th, with Orion being exclusive to BIC camera stores, and Thundercracker sold exclusively at Yodobashi. So, Thundercracker is really no surprise at this point, but how about that Orion Pax?
It's well, as you can see here, it's very pink-ish.
Magenta, and, I would say.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying pink, but yes, magenta. Well, I mean, for one, I mean, it's you know, we haven't gotten this mold in the States other than the exclusive, right?
Although this is one of the figures that's going to be coming to Toys R Us when they get the next iteration of first edition.
Right. Right. So, you know, and I'm all about the Armors Microns because, I mean, I love those, so I like the little deals, but he comes with Ratchet. He comes with a sort of a gold-plated version of Ratchet's weapon. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not super impressed, I guess, by that.
Yeah.
It would have been more interesting if he would have come with, well, for one, it doesn't make sense. It breaks their meme because the Decepticons all have Armors Microns that turn into animals.
And the
Autobots all have Armors Microns that turn into robots. So it doesn't really make sense for him to have, if he's supposed to be a Decepticon, to have a Armors Micron that turns into a robot. They should have given him one of the other, you know, what they should have done, you know, they could have given him one of the, like, the sword parts from Megatron's huge sword or something like that. Something that would have been a bladed weapon.
Yeah, that makes sense. I understand what you're saying.
But,
And then, of course, Thundercracker is not very creative at all, just coming with Starscream's Micron.
Yeah, he comes with just the Starscream. I don't know what that is, an elk thing or ram? I guess it's a ram.
Buffalo, I think.
Buffalo? I don't know. I think. It's gold plated.
The thing that turns into a drill.
Yeah, I mean, and considering it's like, you know, more like toy grade, you know, like a model kit grade, it may not, you know, normally you would think about, you look at that and you go, it's going to flake. And it may not, not too bad. So
it probably will.
But it probably will, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Masterpiece Optimus Prime is on the way. Toys R Us listed the Hasbro edition of MP10 on their website this past Sunday, accepting pre-orders for the figure that will begin shipping on October 15th. As of recording time, the website no longer carries the listing and is presumed to have pre-sold out their initial quantity. Look for this to hit physical locations very soon if you missed out.
I gotta admit, I put it in the shopping cart, and I went all the way through and put my credit card information in, and I could not pull the trigger. I couldn't do it. So,
I wonder if Kilby got one.
I don't know. I'm still sad that we didn't get to see him cry at BotCon, but
no, that would have been such a good BotCon memory.
It really would have. I'm like, oh, remember when Kilby cried because he paid $200 for something he could pay $100 for later?
That utter $250. That utter despair.
Mm. Oh well.
I cheated now.
Yeah. But no, I just couldn't. I couldn't pull the trigger. I'll wait till I see it in store, I guess.
Yeah, I don't plan on getting one of these at all. But I mean, I'm not really that into the Masterpiece line anyway.
Yeah, I don't have as many as I used to, but you know, I've heard this figure's really good, and you know, I want.
And it's. I mean, it's notable that it's basically unchanged from the Japanese one physically. Some of the colors are different, but they didn't even shorten the smokestacks.
Yeah, but it's got the trailer and everything too, so it's like, you know,
bike.
I would need a prominent place to display it.
Which you don't have.
Right. And where the cats can't get to.
Which you don't have.
Which I also don't have, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Hasbro Asia is releasing Energon Bruticus Maximus as they continue looking for the limits of what their market will bear. Based heavily on the Revenge of the Fallen release, the colors have gotten further small adjustments to try to be closer to G1 Bruticus. Costs to import this are still up in the air, but it's a good chance either way that it'll be less than what it costs to get the movie released secondhand these days. So you want to take bets on how long before Fans Project announces a reissue of their Crossfire figures?
I'm surprised it's not out yet. I'm surprised they haven't, you know, done the one for the City Commander. You know, since that's getting a Henke release, I'm surprised that we haven't seen, you know, more of the City Commander ones coming out. So.
Although, you know, City Commander got two or three separate releases from Fans Project already.
Yeah, but I didn't get one yet.
It's not as expensive to go get one as it once was.
True. Yeah.
I mean, there's people selling sets of Classics Ultra Magnus and City Commander for under $200 now.
Yeah. And I have the Ultra Magnus. I just don't have the deal. But, yeah, I imagine that we'll see that come back out pretty quick. You know, it'll be interesting to see if this is going to be something that we'll end up getting stateside a la the other Asian exclusives. You know, or if they'll pass on it because it's already been out here. So,
you know, the Asian market's getting a lot of kind of off-the-wall stuff. They're getting Energon Omega Supreme reissued with some deco tweaks. You know, stuff like there's even going to be like a special Gaia Unicron in more G1 friendly colors. So, I mean, they're getting all kinds of stuff there that we wouldn't really have an expectation of seeing over here. I think those Generations figures that Toys R Us is getting is more of an aberration than a pattern we can expect to follow.
Yeah. I call it the Bag of Blades Gaia Unicron. But, that figure will never come out in the U.S. We will never see that because it's just got too many sharp edges and stuff. If we did, it would be made of rubber.
And I don't think it's that much of a loss.
Not really. I mean, although I did see it does combine with, like, Optimus and Megatron. That's just kind of cool.
Weird? Yeah. No,
okay,
but
weird.
For Bruticus Maximus, I mean, well, for one thing, you know, they got the Fall of Cybertron Bruticus going around, and I don't really think there's going to be that much demand for the Energon molds here again.
No, no, probably not.
So I wouldn't really expect to see that turn up over here.
No, I mean, yeah, especially, like I said, since it's been out here, I mean, it'd be one thing if we didn't get that set. Like, the Asian exclusives, we didn't get those colors. So,
yeah. So, do you need some fresh Transformers representation in your Christmas tree this year? Toys R Us has listed a 5-piece set of Transformers Prime Christmas ornaments. But after getting a good look at the RC, we suggest this might not be great for homes with small children.
Who? That's a scary stare there. Yeah.
Bumblebee's not that much better, but yeah, RC definitely wins this one.
Yeah.
That's some child deterrent right there.
Yeah, some definite neon bits. I'm sure my wife would be really excited about getting that stuff on the Christmas tree too.
Well, no. See, the trick is you just get that and you put it like on the back side of the Christmas tree.
Oh, no.
So you know it's there, and you can go look at it, but she's not going to see it at a casual glance.
Oh, no, no. I want to put that up right up front. I want that to be prominent, you know. I want when the in-laws to come over to see that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in that case, you know, you should take the Prime one and stick it up on top in place of the star.
Yes. Yes. That's a good idea.
Actually, see, that's what they should make. They should make a little light-up Matrix thing to put on
top. Oh, man. Can you imagine? Like, Optimus holding the Matrix, and like, yes. There you go, licensees. Jump on that.
Yes. Well, that'll do it for this week's T-Formers News Desk. Be sure to come back and see us next time for the best of next week's news.
You, XV, and JD. You guys are awesome.
He couldn't be here with us live this week because he has a bad case of the wows.
Yeah. He actually told me, I know nothing about World of Warcraft. He told me that his panda was named Grandus. He named it Grandus.
Actually, I don't think he's talking about World of Warcraft. I could be mistaken. But
well, no, apparently the game has pandas in it now.
Mm-hmm.
And he named his panda Grandus. But actually, he said, I think Grandus was taken, so he said it was Grandius. So, kind of cool, I guess.
Wasn't that one of those overhead shooting games?
That was Gradius.
Oh.
Yeah, Gradius.
Yes.
You can understand my confusion, though.
Yeah, I can. Now, if there was an overhead, if there was like a you know, a shooter starring Grandus,
be as bad as Mystery of Convoy.
Yeah, that's
actually worse because I don't see how Grandus could possibly jump.
Well, I mean, he would be like floating in space or something.
What is he, Ravage?
Yes, could be.
His fourth body.
So let's go ahead and jump into the news. So we got photos of Banzaitron and Galvatron from Alternity in package. I'm surprised these aren't out yet. We've been like seeing these things for months and months and months. What's up with that?
They're on the verge of coming out. They're going to be store exclusives in Japan because I guess nobody really wants more Alternity stuff that doesn't really sell.
Yeah, they're like Bumblebee. So. I have never, ever been, like, seriously drawn to Alternity. I've a couple of them I thought maybe I might pick up, but there's, like, so little to, like, for me personally to justify it. Like, I'm not drawn to the designs for the most part. I'm not drawn to the characters. I mean, Galvatron. I love Galvatron, but it just doesn't look like Galvatron.
No, well, it's like probably the head.
Megatron. Yeah, it's Megatron. It's just...
Wow, well, if it's a purple Megatron, then it's not Galvatron, it's Archforce.
Well, I mean, you know, actually, if you go back to basically all of the series that we've had since, like, Rid, Rid, yeah, it was Megatron and was it Galvatron and Rid?
Yeah.
So, instead of Devil Gigatron, they should have called him Devil Megatron. That would have been awesome. But yeah, so, like, since then, Megatron's turned purple and became Galvatron.
Well, in Robots in Disguise, he turned white. being that he started out purple.
Yeah, that's true. Damn you, XV.
Oops.
But, yeah, well, they hadn't started on that thing then. I mean, the last two Galvatrons, they'd had two Galvatrons before that. They'd had G1 Galvatron and then Beast Wars second Galvatron, and both of which were purple. So they, you know.
Well, besides, you know, in Car Robots, that was not intended to be the same line of characters.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean,
there was no reason for the colors to match up.
But, yeah, so I really don't care about these alternative figures. I never have. But
you know, if I could get that Banzai Tron for like $40 or less, I'd be happy to have it. But for the 100 and something that they're costing to import, no.
Yeah. Just,
no.
Doesn't do anything.
And, I mean, they're being sold in Japan at retail for more than the regular alternative figures had been sold for.
They go for, how much in Japan? What do they go for? $70, something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, when they switched from Vinyl Tech to Alternity, the price basically stayed the same, and the toys got compressed down.
Yeah, let's see here. Vinyl Tech stuff in the U.S. used to run about...
$20.
I mean, no, the imports, Vinyl Tech, not alternators. So it was about $50 is what they would run. Then they went from being Vinyl Tech to being... gosh, what was the interim before Kissformers? What?
Asterisk.
Yeah, and those I think I paid $70 for Blaster.
Yeah, a little more because they came with driver figures.
Yeah, and then like after that, yeah, it's craziness.
And then, you know, Kiss Play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, just as gag-inducing, it's not confirmed, but. Looks like MP15 may be another Optimus. We have a silhouette of Optimus Prime, which supposedly the new MP15 toy. It's blurry enough to where I kind of believe it probably is a real photo. And it's Takara, so why not?
I was wondering if it could be an Ultra Magnus, because one of the rumors going around when they made this smaller Masterpiece Prime is that they might actually try and make a real Ultra Magnus out of that mold.
It wouldn't be hard. They'd just have to basically make a whole new add-on for it.
And I'm just thinking about what it would cost now, and that would be scary.
About $300.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... Someone on AllSpark said something that I thought would be cool. Have Ultra Magnus, but it be the Diaclone Ultra Magnus, those colors. And I'm like, I would not buy it, but I would lust after it, basically. And then I would hate myself in 3 or 4 years for not buying it.
Yeah, you know, JD and I were reflecting when we talked earlier this week about how disappointed we were that you didn't buy the Takara MP10 at BotCon just hours before Hasbro announced theirs. You really deprived us of some enjoyment that day, Brian. We're kind of mad at you about that.
You know, it's ironic that it sold out like after the announcement. People actually bought up the remaining stock of MP10 that was available at BotCon after the announcement. And it wasn't like it was going for like internet prices. It was like going for internet prices plus 20%.
$250. That was the going price at BotCon.
Makes no sense. But
well, there does seem to be still be this perception and mistaken perception in some circles that Takara makes a higher quality product.
Yeah. I mean, I feel so burned by Rodimus. I don't know that I will ever buy another Masterpiece toy from Japan at launch. I'm not saying, like, Triplett says he'll never buy another Takara Masterpiece toy. I'm not saying that. I plan on getting probably Red Alert, if not Sideswipe, and Soundwave at some point, but not the first wave. So,
makes sense.
Yeah.
Plus, if you wait long enough, all of those will probably come to Toys R Us, given enough time.
Probably. And, you know, pre-order... Thank you, XV, for IMing me that pre-order notice.
Did you get one?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, so I was able to get that. Triplett wasn't, so he'll have to fight basically the masses at the store to get it, so...
Oops!
But, yeah, I heard something, or I thought that we're probably going to have more stock of this because they expect this to sell. Right? I just got wind of that somehow. It just seems like this one's going to be more readily available than more recent stuff. I mean, it's Optimus Prime, so I mean, it makes sense that it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think,
how many different versions of the first Masterpiece Optimus did Hasbro put out and sell?
Two or three. I know they did at least two.
But yeah, it's
three.
But they've done like packaging and everything that I figure they'll repurpose because I mean they've gone to a great extent to like package this like and brand it. Not that that's conclusive evidence that they're going to make more of them, but the packaging's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice piece.
Overall, this looks like it's going to be a really nice release.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So, hopefully it will be available very readily to anybody who wants it.
Yeah. I'm just, as far as this MP15, unless they just, like, troll us and give us something like, they're not going to retool it, because I guess once they retool it, that we're stuck with that retool forever. But we're doing Dark Awakening next week. It would be awesome if we got a Dark Awakening Optimus Prime out of this.
Now, see, what I was predicting was that they would sell it with a black trailer and a backpack that makes stupid noises and, you know, MP15 G2 Optimus with, like, a basically unchanged Optimus figure.
Well, we'd have to have the Tampograph insignia, like, on his leg. And maybe slightly deeper blues.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that. The very first run of G2 Prime, which my brother has, had about the same color blue as the original.
Yeah, the change in blue color came a lot later.
Yeah, mine's
in G2 Primes. So if they were going with the original one, then you know, just like the Encore Devastator, there's going to be the yellow version of it instead of the orange one. They're going with the more common. So.
They could just do Masterpiece Rescue Bots Optimus. I would buy that. He's awesome. Okay. Anything else here in the news to catch us up for the week? Chinese Generation Scouts are out. Diecast picked those up, didn't you, Diecast?
No, he just got a wheelie.
Ah. And but those are out, and they're about $10 each. Any chance we'll get no word on the Voyagers, or are we getting the Voyagers?
We're supposed to get the Voyagers, they just have not hit yet.
Yeah.
You know, basically how this has worked out so far is that 1 week the Deluxe has hit, the next week the Legends hit, and then this week now the Scouts have hit. So maybe next week there will be Voyager sightings.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Let's go ahead and jump to Rescue Bots this week with Amy and Nicole, and after that we will be back with Transformers Rewind, and this week, like we said, it's Heavy Metal War. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, and welcome to another mini retro review sponsored by Radio Free Cybertron. I am Amy.
I'm Nick. Hi.
And today we are reviewing a Transformers Rescue Bots episode that aired March 17th of 2012 called Cody on Patrol.
Was that long ago? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but yeah, it was half this year. So, yeah. And the rundown of this episode is that Cody plays hero when he rebuilds his dad's go-kart. At first, he's not getting around very well because even though he rebuilt it, the cart does not go that fast, at least until he hangs out with Frankie Green and they find some special experimental fuel to test on it. That's when things get really interesting because they get this nanite fuel and it turns his go-kart into a rolling thunder of a problem. and those pesky nanites, they don't stick with the little go-kart very long. When it starts running into bigger and better technology, it jumps ship and eventually into one of our rescue bots, Boulder. It turns him into Zombie Boulder. He's got glowing eyes, and he's, I can't control myself. In the end, though, the Burns family get them, get all of the nanites, and they get them to something so big, a power plant that on the island that they can't. They overload and they short out, and that's the end of the nanites, and that's the end of the problem. But yeah,
I love how the nanites.
Yeah, nanites.
Yeah, they look like little traffic cones.
Yeah, I know. They're like yeah, flying traffic cones. Great.
But I think this episode was really fun because it had a very Transformers animated feel.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they went to the junkyard. I'm like, this is very animated. And it just brought a big smile to my face.
Yes. Yes. That was also where we meet the Scrap Master, which gets taken over by the nanites.
Yep.
my son found it a little scary when he was when the Scrap Master was taken over and it was trying to eat everybody, especially Cody. He's like, oh no. He's sitting right next to me, all cuddling really close. And I was like, what? You worried? He's like, yes, he's going to get eaten. Oh, goodness. This is also the episode where we get to see a softer and more thoughtful Boulder at first, because before he's taken over and all that. Because Cody's frustrated about not being able to go very fast with the go-kart. But yeah,
He definitely has the animated prowl feel to him.
Yeah,
he's taken in nature. He's he wants to think more outside the box. You know, you got to learn to look around you with your eyes closed and all that stuff. So.
Yep. And Cody does take it to heart because that's how he figures out that they need to get it into a bigger machine, get the nanites into a bigger machine. So yeah, yep, cool. This is also where we find the icon of Dr. Morocco.
Yeah, this was the very first time that we saw that.
And so they were teasing about, you know, how it was building up to something that we hadn't seen yet. So they were throwing that in there. So I really liked that for that. And I also liked the fact that they had the consequences for their actions in this. Because in the end, Cody, because he used the fuel in his go-kart, he ends up having to help replant the trees that Boulder stepped on when he went into zombie mode.
Boulder had a really good line in it. What did he say? There's a point of being oneness. Wait, being one with stillness or something like that, and then just plain laziness.
Yeah. That
or
was
something
like
that. I'm like, oh, that's a good line. That's a good line.
That's really cute. Yeah. The other part that I really did like about this, too, is that when Cody got the go-kart and he rebuilt it and all that, and the bots are like, oh, you don't want to hang out with us anymore. And he's like, no.
Oh,
it's like, a go-kart is just a ride. You guys are my friends. And I thought, oh, that's so cute. I loved that. It was great. So, but yeah.
Gotta love them. Gotta love these guys.
They were all
it's
awesome
just
in this.
A fun show.
So. It is. Okay.
But
so,
I blame Frankie for this time.
Yes.
She definitely is her father's daughter because she caused the problem this time.
She did. She did. She was the one that suggested, hey, let's see what we've got in the cabinet here. Open it up. Oh, look, there's some experimental fuel here.
There's biofuel here. Oh, that sounds interesting. Let's check it out.
It's like, yeah, and then he's like, oh, I'm just going to eat. She says, you should only just use a little bit. It's like, well, if a little bit will help, then a whole lot more is going to do so much more. And she's like, did you plant that in there? Did you tell him, no, only use a little bit, only for him to say, no, I want to use all of it. Just, oh, goodness. It was too funny when they did that. That subliminal message there, you know.
Yes.
Girls are evil.
I think so, just a little.
Awesome. All right. Well, that is our review of this episode. Hopefully, it will tempt a few people out there to go and watch it because this is actually a really well-written show. It's really great. My kids love it, so they look forward to it every week. We can also check out our longer review of this episode over on The Underbase, and I will put links in right about here. That's our review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Aloha.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages. from the secret files of Teletran 2. In the days of Megatron, Decepticons developed the art of espionage using cassette technology. Their first cassette, Laserbeak, could fly undetected into any Autobot stronghold, record information, and then return to base. Then the Decepticons decided to increase their spying abilities with Ratbat. As a bat, Ratbat can hide in crevices that Laserbeak can't reach, and he's especially effective in tunnels, caves, or in the darkness of space. Ratbat reports on the Autobots' most carefully guarded secrets. The Autobots had no choice but to strike back at these Decepticon techniques of stealth, building a force of cassette transformers of their own, with Blaster as their guardian. They constructed Ramhorn the Rhino, who can use animalistic force if cornered, and Steeljaw the Lion, who can crawl through the foliage of any alien world to sneak up on Decepticons. They also bolstered their cassette force with Rewind and Eject, who can transform to robot mode and use more conventional fighting force techniques.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android device, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the App Store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
In the near future, Doc Terror and his cyborg companion Hacker unleash their forces to conquer Earth. Only one force can stop this evil, a handful of brave men. In specially created exoframes, they can be transported anywhere to fuse with incredible assault weapon systems beamed down from the space station Sky Vault, becoming man and machine, power extreme. Max Ray, brilliant sea operations commander. Jake Rockwell, rugged land operations specialist. Ace McCloud, daring air operations expert. Whatever the challenge, they are ready. The Centurions!
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron. Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers.
Rewind.
This week on Transformers Rewind, Heavy Metal War.
No, Megatron! You will not have to fight all Autobot powers at once. Just me! It is ended.
Is it really over, Optimus? I mean, have we seen the end of this war forever?
Who can say, Spike? In this vast universe, is anything truly forever?
We shall rise again.
Brand new toys, I mean mysterious construction vehicles with no driver, steal equipment from a new power plant that's being built. Megatron is pleased with his newly created Constructicons, but amazingly they aren't the plot device of the day.
Help! Police!
We have what we came for! Constructicons! Transform! Foolish man of flesh, if you interfere with us, you will be terminated! We return to our master, Megatron!
They're with the Decepticons!
With the stolen equipment, they've made a machine that lets Megatron use all the special abilities of the other Decepticons, who mostly didn't use them before anyway.
Your invention is completed, Scrapper, and we are ready. So proceed with the strength transfer.
As you order, Master Megatron. Now, Decepticons, each of you must contribute a power chip rectifier to the exchange furnace.
But I need my power chip rectifier. Besides, the Cybertron Code of Combat requires each warrior to fight as he is, without additional reinforcement. You wouldn't want to cheat, would you, Megatron?
I will win by any means, at any cost. Even if it means terminating you, Starscream.
I was only raising a legal point.
I am not concerned with technicalities. Only victory interests me.
Megatron challenges Prime to a one-on-one battle to decide the outcome of the war, and Prime accepts. As Megatron takes on all the other special powers back at the Decepticon base, Starscream points out Teletran 1 will detect Megatron's tampering. And so the Constructicons are sent to break in and destroy it while everyone watches the fight.
Careful, Scrounge! This volcano isn't inactive! Scrapper, I'm picking up computer signals from above! We're directly under Teletran 1!
Optimus Prime! Get up, Optimus!
You can beat him, Optimus!
You cannot blast what you cannot see! Nor what you cannot hear!
Reflector and Thundercracker must be proud, or rather their power chip rectifiers must be.
You were good, Optimus Prime, but not good enough to fight Megatron. And so the battle ends.
Megatron, using every ability of his troops, easily overpowers Optimus, and the Autobots head back to their base to prepare to leave the planet as per the rules. The Constructicons, meanwhile, are digging their way up from under Autobot headquarters, but they didn't expect the highly advanced security system to be left in place, and the Constructicons get trodden on by the Dinobots until they reveal their own special ability and combine into Devastator.
Sludge not see these Decepticons before.
Not see again either, because we dynamite them to pieces. Dinobots! No fool around!
Right, Dinobots, transform!
It's bad news, Scrapper. They've brought out the heavy artillery.
We did the same, only heavier. Constructicons, transform! Phase one! Now, transform! Phase two!
Prepare to meet your doom. Nothing can withstand the might of Devastator!
So this is the end of season one, and the way the episode ends, it's really clear that nobody was really sure there would be another episode to come back to in the fall. But it also introduced some toys that were just about to come out too, and I think that's why this episode really sticks with people.
Well, it's the introduction of the Constructicons too.
That's what I was talking about.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I think it sticks out.
more so than being like the end of the season, I think it's like, oh my god, a combiner! You know, it's like we've never seen that.
That's what I was talking about, the new toys.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's
the thing. Fucking stupid, JD.
Anyway, so. but it's interesting. It's an odd episode in a lot of ways. I mean, this is one of those episodes that gets referenced because there's a huge sort of retcon of something that's said in this episode, which is that, you know, Megatron mentions that the Constructicons were built in this cavern and then specifically used to make the power transfer device or whatever, which later gets turned around in The Secret of Mega Supreme, where they say that the Constructicons were pre-existing on Cybertron and then, you know, sort of reprogrammed into Decepticons later.
Episode, the Constructicons are actually seen building Megatron.
Well, yeah.
Ooh, I forgot.
Is that season three?
I think that might still be season two. I think that's in Forever is a Long Time Coming.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, yeah. I always love that stuff just because it makes like hardcore fans like go nuts in the head. Because they're like, well, really, what he meant to say was that, whatever. It's one of the writers.
They're trying to make it make sense, even though it kind of doesn't.
Yeah. This episode shows that Spike gets it. Because Megatron comes and challenges, you know, Optimus to this duel, of which Megatron has never shown any ability to adhere whatsoever to any kind of Cybertronian law. And shows that he is only able to be, well, deceptive. And Spike points that out. You know, he's like, they're Decepticons. And Optimus is like, no, it's cool, man. It's the law.
This time's
Megatron different. Is definitely this time going to be cool. And then even when Optimus is getting his ass beat completely by powers that he should definitely recognize as completely not being Megatron, he's still like, man, I didn't know he was so badass. Like, really? Really?
Yeah, I mean, he even said it.
Yeah. Like,
remember these powers?
I don't remember Megatron like, having these powers. You don't think he might be cheating? Maybe. You know?
Like, yeah.
Jeez.
And holding back for 3 million
years. The Autobot leader? What?
And then they get the boot, you know, and he's like, no, we gotta go, because we're gonna obey the rules, you know, because obviously Megatron did. You know? Jeez. Silly Autobots.
Transformers.
Silly Autobots. Silly Optimus Prime that he just...
Really, yeah. No.
For, like, what, a whole episode.
Optimus Prime is the best leader ever! He's so amazing! He was never tricked by the Decepticons ever!
I'm surprised that they didn't try to get rid of him after this and go, dude, you did that whole thing and you almost got our... Yeah, got us kicked
off.
Got
it, you almost got it deported, dude! Jeez.
Which is for the show that... G1 is the Autobot buddy comedy. But the one sequence in this episode I really like is when Megatron approaches the Autobots to issue the challenge, and everybody runs outside and uses their special weapons against Megatron. So Wilson just pulls out his new rocket launcher that explodes in his hand.
He uses his special non-engineering ability to blow his own face off. With his shock blast cannon that shock blasts him in the head.
That sure was a shock.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just the surprise was on you and not them.
That's right. Yeah. I'd like to think he had a normal face at one point.
I just been blown off at one point. Yeah.
Nobody talks about it, though.
Megatron can bob and weave, man. He just stood up there for like 10 minutes just getting shot at. Apparently it took Optimus pointing out, like, why are you just letting your girl self get shot at? Oh, yeah, I had a point. sorry, I forgot that I wasn't just being shot at.
Or maybe he was just getting bored. He was like, right. I've been up here for 10 minutes. You haven't come close to hitting me.
Can't hit me? Can't hit me.
Yeah. It's like, okay. It's like, well, I guess you're not going to get any better, so let's talk.
Or, you know, he just like, I wonder how long they'll keep shooting at me if I just sit here and...
They'll run out of ammo, power, what have you.
But That's Megatron's real master plan, to stand up there and get shot at until all the Autobots run out of ammo, and then he just headshots them all.
He doesn't even have to headshot them. He just goes up to him and starts flinking them. Bink, bink,
starts
bink.
Beating them all. Yes. Yeah. That's Megatron's
He's
real
master. He's so awesome, he doesn't even need a gun.
That's what he was going to do when he took over Autobot City, but he just didn't get that far, so...
So,
what else can we say about Heavy Metal War?
I mean, and then the Constructicons happened.
I mean, like, the Constructicons had a reason to be special up until, say, what came first, Starscream's Brigade or Search for Alpha Trion?
Search for Alpha Trion came first.
Or was, no, Search for Alpha Trion was the Elita 1 episode, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're talking about the
Vector Sigma.
Yeah, Key to Vector Sigma was first. Because remember when Bruticus went haywire, they called
right,
in.
Venusaur was there.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, the Constructicons had a reason to be special up to that point. Which is not to say they didn't suck before then, because there was a lot of Season 2 to prove that point. But
yeah,
at least right now, you know, they're standing there, they take a shot in the chest from Optimus, nothing really happens. They have to be distracted by a hologram before they can be defeated.
Right, they need that kill shot from Optimus, yeah.
And then down into the lava with them.
Yeah, which is...
That's right. Everybody who can fly, fall into this cavern.
You know? Yeah, that's always the thing that bothers
forget about
me. That's one of those deals that's like, you know, the Decepticons can fly, why do they keep falling into stuff?
Because right, they're not very good at it.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, flying is like, you know, it takes a lot of power, and you got to think about it. You got to think happy thoughts.
It would have been great if anyone would, like, fall all the way to the bottom, really right before the lava, and stop. It's like, and just, like, shot them off. But he didn't.
What do you think he is? Dark Helmet?
That would have been awesome. But, yeah.
It would have been.
I want to see
well,
a dark
actually,
they opened...
originally, he was Dark Helmet, because he used to have a black head.
Boy, that
got
you're going
there.
Deep there. That's right. Yep. How about that? Yeah, it would have been awesome if they opened the second season with them just like flying out of the cavern, you know, without showing them like actually fall into the lava. So like the Autobots just assume they're all dead. They're like, no, we've been flying for like 2 months, just kind of levitating right here,
right,
just waiting for the second season credits to roll when we can finally fly out of this place.
We were waiting for our contracts to go through.
That's right. There was a strike, so, you know, you know how it goes. Benefits these days.
Okay, we are back next week on Transformers Rewind, Dark Awakening. I am so stoked.
One of those real screw-you-up-as-a-kid episodes.
Oh, God. It totally screwed me up. I am the man I am today thanks to Dark Awakening.
I think that's one of the ones I missed way back when, so this may be the first time I'm actually seeing it.
Really?
Oh, you are in for a treat,
There's
bro.
No way. There's no way. So did I forgot. Did it have the stinger at the end of it? I guess it did, where it basically showed Optimus in the stars and saying something to the effect of Optimus coming back.
Well, you know, all the... except for the first broadcast of it, all versions of it have had that, including home video.
Yeah.
So,
because I remember that was tacked on, and that was also tacked on to the UK version of Transformers the Movie, which I'm thankful that wasn't like tacked on to the US domestic version. But the Star Wars scroll intro would have been kind of cool, but just solidifies more that it's just a cheap ripoff of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I love Transformers the Movie, but I am infamous for hating it at the same time. I have XV'd up that movie for like the last 15 years. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. So this month, it's the third party roundup. Thank you, XV, for throwing this together at the last minute. So first up, we have finally...
I want to read the second one myself.
Okay. That's... I see why. first up, we have full color. Oh, I can't wait for that. Full color photos of Ultimate Not Superion, a.k.a. Uranus. I don't know
how to. That goes so well with the next one, too.
Yeah, I know. But it's I mentioned it's kind of Brady Bunch-esque.
Yeah, but it looks nice.
Yeah, it does. I'm trying to click the software that I use to stream instead of the browser. Yeah, I mean it will be nice. It definitely has the joints in the panels and everything look, and it may just be the quality of the photo, but it looks more mecha, more Robotech, more Gundam-y to me than like Transformers, just because they're panels and lines. Not that we don't get that, or it could be maybe more late G1 Japanese stuff. It looks different than, for the most part, than, you know, Hasbro released Transformers. It just looks a little different.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get that kind of variation just depending on who's doing the physical design of it. You know, if they're more used to things that look like Gundams than that look like old Transformers, you're going to get a little more sense of that style in what they produce.
Yeah, I mean, but it's definitely, it's definitely not bad looking at all. If I could afford it, I would buy it.
Yeah, I mean, these are going to be around the same price as the Hercules.
Yeah.
Numbers were.
Yeah, I've got other things I need to spend money on. Like,
Personally, I kind of would rather see them do them a little bit smaller so they could cost less.
Yeah.
But also because I just had the vision, I guess, from the original toys of the aerial bus just being small.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but, you know, what are you going to do?
So, XV, why don't you go ahead and read the next item?
Sure! So, Toy World is all about the Throttlebots, so far having announced two figures based on them. First, they announced Grindrod as Robar. Grindrod. Because that's not the worst possible name to name a toy, is it?
So, I only see Grindrod. Who's the other one they're doing?
This week, or possibly last week, they announced Aurora, which is based on Searchlight.
The two I had as a kid, strangely enough. I didn't get the others.
Well, I'm sure they'll do the other ones also. They're just where they're starting.
Yeah, I didn't get the others until I was an adult, which is kind of sad, actually, now that I say that out loud. Wow, that's we don't have photos of Searchlight. I mean, Aurora or whatever, do we?
There's a link in the notes.
Okay, there, Ryan. I'll pull that up. Oh, yes.
Over here.
Just assume they would be linked from the same place. So.
Well, you know what happens when you assume, Brian?
Yes.
You're an ass.
You know, that just doesn't look like Searchlight, though.
Well, of course not. It has limbs.
Well, besides that, I mean, the most iconic is the right word. The most recognizable part of Searchlight is his, like, quadruple, you know, headlights, and this is, it's been traded for like what, a bar of lights or something.
I guess it's to be realistic to the vehicle mode.
Yeah, it looks more like I don't know, camshaft or something. What am I thinking?
Yeah, I could kind of see that, or maybe a battle charger.
Yeah. Yeah, it just it doesn't. I mean, like,
of course, Throttlebots were just smaller, dumber battle chargers.
Yeah, I'm just gonna call them by their Throttlebots name. So, not Rollbar really looks like Rollbar to me.
Wait, you really don't want to use the name Grindrod for that
toy?
Okay,
Grindrod really looks like Rollbar to me. God, that is just the worst name. I just do not get that. But Grindrod really does remind me of Rollbar. But, yeah, Aurora, just, I don't know.
Yeah, Searchlight's a little bit more distant.
Yeah, look, here, let me bring up the vehicle. The vehicle mode looks exceptional. I mean, look at that.
Yeah.
That looks fan-frickin-tastic. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's not even the same kind of vehicle.
No.
Searchlight was like a coupe. It's like a crossover.
This is like a Mini Cooper.
Yeah, so...
or something. Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, not bad by any stretch. Not bad at all, just...
I mean, I can see here they're kind of going for the same thing Hasbro does, which is to update the characters into modern forms and, you know, more realistic vehicle modes, even if it compromises the robot a little bit. And in that way, I kind of dig it because they're making it more like official product.
Yeah.
But if you want, like, a really faithful Throttlebot image, yeah, you're not exactly getting that there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I can't wait for Goldbug, though.
Yeah, that ought to be interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll make it a new bug.
That could work.
Yeah, I mean...
it could get them sued.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. If they do that, they'll be sued.
You know, I hear made their little Legends Bumblebee knockoff thing that looks like an old Volkswagen... but at the same time, they're in China, and they only sell the stuff out of their own website. So it's not like there's that much legal recourse against them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder when
I'm not sure Toy World has that same advantage.
I need to check TF Source and see when I'm getting my Hench.
Yeah.
I want Hench. I kind of want UFO.
I want to hear about that in case I need to get Bushwhacker.
I'll let you know. I probably will pick up UFO as well. Dr. Wu is doing a blaster for RC. Yay.
Yeah. Well, slowly but surely, they're arming all your Prime toys with more show-accurate stuff.
Yeah.
If that's important to you.
I mean, again, I think I'm totally cool with this sort of... I mean, it's not questionable. It's, you know, in legality, but it just... I don't know. I mean, unless
the best thing that Dr. Wu has done, I think, so far is the Star Stinger with the Matrix and the hilt.
So,
although I have no idea where to actually find one of those to buy it, but Captured Prey is actually getting an evil recolored version as an exclusive.
Yeah, but there's nothing I can think of recently. You'll probably correct me. That's come out in a while where it's like missing an accessory that we're all just pining over. That it's like, why on earth doesn't it come with that? Like the first third party stuff I remember, besides maybe the Unicron.com stuff, was the third party accessories for Brave Max. And because it came without guns, no guns, didn't even meet the sword. I mean, the sword was a nice addition, but I just freaking wanted guns.
I mean, you remember why that happened though, right?
The size of them, you could probably choke on them or poke your eye out.
No, it wasn't that, because remember, these were Japanese toys. They don't worry about that. They don't. No, what it was, Takara wanted to offer those as contest prizes. So that wasn't
That's
really
right.
including them with every toy.
That's right. They were... Oh, gosh. I'd forgotten about that.
The Master Sword actually was retooled also with the pole arm extension so that Omega Prime could use it.
Yes.
And I think that was, like, the main prize. There was only a few of those to go around.
Yeah, I remember that. Great memory.
I had completely forgotten about the win the toy you thought you were buying in the first place contest. That's ridiculous.
We'll give you this map that you can pretend it's, like, the city, but you gotta win the fucking gun. That's so stupid.
Yes, this, folks, is the Takara that loves you so much more than Hasbro.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay.
But no, to your original point there, I cannot think of anything offhand that's really been missing vital accessories in the same way that, you know, Brave Max was missing his guns.
So, this is something that I'm actually pretty excited about. The Fans Project, limited edition, holiday exclusive, Armored Battalion, FPDX. So, I'm assuming, and I don't have them to compare them by, but I'm assuming this is just basically the same molds as the Insecticons from before, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same base figures. There may be some remolding, I'm not entirely sure
but
on
they
that.
They look so much better.
The Deluxe Insecticon colors really do suit those molds, yeah.
Yeah, so my problem with those Insecticons is they just did not at all suit the Insecticons. Those were Microman, weren't they? No, those are Diaclone.
Yeah, they were. Okay, the Autobots, the cars, and the jets, and everything, even were the Hero Mecha, and the Insecticons were based on the villains.
Yeah. So, I mean, these molds here never suited those versions of the Insecticons, but the Deluxe were Bandai.
Well, there's something Bandai owns now. I'm not sure if they were originally Bandai.
Yeah, but these look so much better in those colors. It's just like night and day. I was never, ever, ever impressed before, but I love this. This is beautiful. I saw this earlier this week, or last week, whenever this showed up, and I was just blown away. These look fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it makes me want for a recolor of Generations Kickback as, like, Ransack. Because I think that would work really well, too.
How much are these?
The set is around $150.
Man, it's really nice. I don't know.
And, you know, they only come as the set of three.
Yeah, I don't know that I would want to drop that much cash.
It's actually a little cheaper than the individual original releases were.
Thank you, Kimberly. My wife just got a shout out on the show. She stopped and picked up something for me on the way back home from work. What is this?
Did you get your chocolate?
What did she get me? She got me a Pepsi Max. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is not sponsored or endorsed by Pepsi. So if you work for Coca-Cola or another, or RC, no. Russell Stover caramel milk chocolate. I have to try that after the show. And,
didn't realize you got Russell Stover that far south.
And that's Snickers pumpkin. Sweet. Okay. I really needed sugar, sorry. Obviously, by looking at me, I don't, but I needed to stay awake. So let's go ahead and jump ahead. The next item that we have, future Iger Minibot releases, Veer, Dune Raker, and Bushwhacker. So Bushwhacker is the one that I was most excited about for XV. But Dune Raker is, of course, Beachcomber. God, brain not working. And
it's Heavy Metal War.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Veer is supposed to be what? Gears?
Swerve.
Oh, yeah, Swerve, duh. And, of course, Bushwhacker is Outback. So, I guess Beachcomber, that's a new mold, isn't it?
Yes.
I've not seen that one, so let me pull that one up. Pull him up right here. It looks like Beachcomber. I mean, until we actually see, we don't actually have a real shot of the toy. Until we have that, it'll be impossible to make any judgment calls. But it's not like this is going to be an easy one or a hard one to do. You'd have to try really hard to fail at doing Beachcomber. And looking at design, they may do it.
Yeah, seriously, I mean, even this got it right.
Yeah, I mean, the sandstorm. Yeah, the repaint of that was Sandstorm, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
So, even it's not bad. Actually, I was able to get Sandstorm, but not Beachcomber. I had to get that one on eBay. The robot mode looks pretty much dead on. But the vehicle mode, we'll have to see in hand first.
I'm sure it'll be a little more faithful than this one turning into the Warthog from Halo with the big gun on the back.
Yeah, so
that's very accurate to Beachcomber's character.
Yeah, Veer. Yeah, it is what it is. And but Bushwhacker.
Well, you know, Swerve's been gaining some popularity thanks to More Than Meets the Eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rightly so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
great book.
Yeah, it is a great book. Mm-hmm. I haven't read issue 8, 9 or the annual yet. I'm terrible. But Bushwhacker looks nice. I probably will not pick it up, but I don't think I'm going to get the repaints, not at the new price tag. you know, at the old like $20 price point, sure. At the
these are bigger too. So.
Yeah, at the new price point, no. Yeah, I mean, even though it's bigger, it's still not really like to me. $20 is on the edge of being disposable. Like if you get in the $40 range, that's like that's like lunch for a week. So, but yeah, I think that the iGear stuff is still probably the best. At least, maybe not in engineering, but I think in general faithfulness to sort of the source material and the variety and the price point. Even though like the PP, the perfect, what does the PP stand for? It's perfect point or something.
I believe it means urine.
Nice. But even though those are a little steep at like $100 plus each, like the smaller stuff, $40 kind of steep, but it's easier for me to drop $40 on that than it would be to drop like $100 on like weapon specialist or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do that without feeling like a terrible person. I am a terrible person.
I was going to say.
But I wouldn't necessarily feel like one. Let's see here.
And finally, what we held back from the news desk.
So, so yet another, oh my god.
Now you see why.
What?
Try to pull through this.
I haven't seen this. So, everything else I'd seen, so yet another alternate head add-on for Hercules from Excellent Toys, who include a bonus super deformed Devastator figure. Okay, so that's the figure. So I'm like, how is that going to work as a head? So, so
it's a Devastator Headmaster for Devastator.
So the figurine is way bigger than the head. I would figure that the figurine would actually be about the size of the head or smaller. Because the Hercules head wouldn't be that small. I mean, I don't have a Hercules, but it would probably be about the size of like a robot hero, wouldn't it? Maybe a little smaller.
If John was here, we could ask him.
Don's in the chat. What do you say, Don?
Oh, does he have one?
Yeah, Don has one.
There's still something amusingly recursive about third-party upgrade kits for third-party figures.
Oh, I mean, that's been the case ever since the first replacement heads for City Commander happened.
Well, yeah.
And none of them looked as good as the original.
So, yeah, Don asked what the question is. About how big is the head on Hercules? I was thinking it was about the size of, like, a robot hero.
Yeah, Don, tell us about this head Hercules got.
Nice. I don't have one. I'm never going to have one.
I'd like to have one, but it's very unlikely.
Yeah. Waiting for Don.
Now, if they came out with an orange one, I'd have to really work to find a way to get one.
The size of a mini-mate. Okay, that's not far off.
No.
That's not far off. So, that figurine is flipping huge. That
figurine's probably like, you know,
it's legend size or bigger.
The robot hero equivalent Star Wars and G.I. Joe figures are probably about that big.
But the robot hero Star Wars and G.I. Joe figures are the exact same size as robot heroes.
I don't think so. I believe the robot heroes were actually smaller.
I have them both littering my desk at work. They're like the same size. Not Star Wars, but the G.I. Joe anyway. I don't know. But it's I would say that by Don's description, it's probably the size of a scout.
I don't think it's that big.
I mean the figurine.
I know what you mean. That's what I'm saying. I don't think so.
Well, no. I'm sorry, not a scout. Legends figure.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Paladin's exactly right. KO Group should start cranking out Hercules wannabes.
You know what I'm still waiting for, and I'm still convinced this is going to happen? We are one day going to see knockoffs of third-party toys at Big Lots. It has to happen.
It has to happen.
I'm just waiting.
And who can they sue at that point?
Yeah, that's the best part.
If I can...
Well, now remember, the only time that anybody's gotten sued to have something removed from Big Lots was when those oversized Cybertron Legend knockoffs were being sold right next to the real Cybertron Legends toys.
Well, yeah.
That's the only time it's happened.
I thought Hasbro had like a blanket like lawsuit against Big Lots for selling third-party stuff.
Well, obviously not, because they still sell knockoff stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they absolutely do. You know, I just got a contact request on LinkedIn yesterday from a guy at Big Lots. I don't know who he is, but I should email him and ask him. It's like, why on earth is this guy I randomly friended on LinkedIn randomly asking me a question about a lawsuit that my company had? I need to do that. Then I totally expect like that request to be like reneged, and then like that contact go away. Sorry, I don't know. You know what LinkedIn is, right, XP?
What?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why I got that one. I don't know him, nor do we have any mutual friends. So, but yeah, I just thought Big Lots had like a blanket lawsuit from Hasbro saying don't sell this crap.
You can still find the aerial bots and Constructicons and almost all the Stunicons.
I remember walking in the first time I really, really realized that you could get like knockoffs from Big Lots. They had knockoffs of like Beast Machines and Beast Wars and other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was totally surprised and excited. Actually, I got a decent knockoff Heinrad.
I have that too.
Yeah, and it's like I'll find it, and I'll have to think whether or not it's my real Heinrad.
Well, the difference is easy to tell because the knockoff doesn't have a clock.
I thought it had a clock, but the clock didn't work.
No, there's no clock. They replaced it with a flat panel with a yin yang symbol.
Oh well, then
on top of it,
then I'm just finding my real Heinrad, and it's.
I can understand how you'd confuse that for a knockoff, though. Being big and simple as it is,
I still like it though.
I didn't say you didn't like it. I'm just saying, you know.
You know, Beast Wars Neo is, like, for the most part, a pain in the butt. Like, to transform and to actually even appreciate sometimes. But I still like it.
Okay.
Yeah, Longrack is one of my favorite weird Transformers ever.
Okay.
I just love Longrack. Sorry. Okay.
Longrack and Grindrod ought to get together.
God.
You know, for a long time now, I've been kind of actually irritated at the almost but not quite names that they give to the knockoff figures, but this week they've really been the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Yeah. So Grindrod. So is it like a mistranslation of Grindor or something?
It's probably a mistranslation of a mistranslation of the word roll bar.
Probably.
It's like, okay, what does roll bar mean? Okay, so how do we translate that back into English in a way that doesn't sound like roll bar?
Grindrod.
I know!
That's so terrible.
But probably true.
Yeah, you're dead on. I had the same thought when I heard the name.
It's also apparently a city in British Columbia.
Really? I want to move there.
Small farming Canadians village.
The Canadians are so weird.
Okay, so I guess that's Radio Free Cybertron for this week. You can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio, and also you can join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. We are on YouTube. Our username is TF Radio Network. Rob Springer just today posted a new RFC RTM1 podcast. It's our little YouTube exclusive show that's hosted by Rob Springer. It's great fun. And I actually, should I even admit it? So I created a Pinterest account for us. Yeah.
Okay. And will this ever actually be relevant?
I post stuff to it that I enjoy because I realized that I don't have time for Twitter. I barely have time for Facebook, but Pinterest really completely ties into the way that I surf the internet. I kind of hate myself, but if you want to join, it's I think it's pinterest.com/TF Radio. Yes.
So the short answer is no, it will not ever actually be relevant.
I put neat stuff on there.
So the short answer is no, it will never actually be relevant.
Basically.
Thank you.
But if you like Transformers or like weird like hacks for video game systems, that's the place to go. our Pinterest account. Okay, so XV, you are on Twitter, but you don't want to tell us your screen name. So, Rob.
I am at Flail Throughs. We just finished Pokemon Black 2. I will be starting on a new game next week. And, of course, Gundam Battle Operation will stay on the weekends.
Awesome. Flail Throughs is at flailthroughs.blogspot.com.
That's the one.
And at Flail Throughs on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And your toy, actually, not just Transformers, but your toy review website is figurereviews.com.
Yep, and the Twitter for that is at Figure Reviewers, and most of our Transformers reviews at this point you can see on tformers.com.
Awesome. Sweet.
XV is currently midway through reviewing the Fall of Cybertron Combaticons, matter of factly.
Oh, really? So when did you get these guys?
Last Friday.
You pre-ordered them, I guess, from Big Bad Toy Store.
Mm.
Yeah, AAA got his too. I'm jealous. Except, actually, no. I was going to say, we were actually talking about that. I don't think we mentioned this last week. And I'm not saying this to be cool or counterculture or whatever. We've mentioned it on the show before. I like the colors on the retail version so much better.
You mean the colors that are, like, visually interesting and make them all distinctive?
Yes.
Yeah, those are pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are, like, I was looking at a comparison gallery online, and oh my god, the retail colors are so much better than the San Diego Comic-Con version. And seeing the, like, we saw them at BotCon, but we still weren't 100% sure on, you know, what was what. Oh god, it looks so much better. So I will probably have to pick that up.
Yeah, I mean, I would only want of the SDCC color ones, Swindle and Brawl, and that's just to turn them into other stuff.
Yeah, so, I will probably pick those up when I see them, and I am very much looking forward to my G2 set that I've got pre-ordered. I was telling Kim about those last night, and her eyes glazed over.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. But, so, you can find me on Twitter at BKilby. I don't tweet. And I am at facebook.com/BrianKilby. I do post to Facebook. So I guess that will do it for this week. We are at tfradio.net. Check out all our shows there. And we will be back next week. Thank you for watching.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.